joining us from Cooperstown in the very famous Met of the late 60s. Four home runs and four at-bats at one point in his career as a New York Met. He wrote the book After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets. It's a big deal. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. He is in Cooperstown today, and we welcome him back to the show. Art Shamsky, how are you?
Marty, good to be with you. Always good to be with you.
Thank you. You're on with Adam and Kerry as well. You heard probably the call of John Miller last night, Dave Fleming of the Mets dropping the ball in left field. That had to bring back some memories of the early New York Mets.
Well, I can't take the blame for those early years because I was not with them. People always make fun of me when I say that. But you know, I joined the team in 68, and we were still kind of a team that was floundering. But under Gil Hodges, we started to put it together. And, of course, 69, we won it all. But I saw the replay of that play last night, and it's just it's very typical of a team that's just not playing well. And you get great pitching, and you can't score a couple runs, and then you drop a fly ball or don't get to the fly ball. And it's just it's an awful way to lose it. But on the other hand, for the Giants fans, I know it keeps that streak going, and it's a good sign for them because when you're playing well, things like that happen. So. But I was a little disappointed for the Mets fans because I know they were pulling for that game last night.
Well, Art, those are the two sides of baseball, right? You're watching a team in the Mets who had high aspirations with a new GM and a manager coming in this year, and then they've floundered and struggled mightily over the last month and a half or so, and the Giants have turned it around. And you said it, when things are going well for your team, things like that with that final play for the Giants happened last night, and when you're not going good, things like that for the Mets happened last night.
Well, it's actually exactly right. I remember Gil Hodges in 1969, when nobody even thought we had any chance to do anything, he said, you know, you guys are in spring training. He said, you guys are a lot better than you think. And if you can find ways to win some close games, you know how to lose close games. Let's find ways to win. And even though as the season started out, even to the middle of the season, we weren't playing great. But we got into August. We were still 9 games behind the Cubs at that time. And all of a sudden, we started winning those close games, every close game, every series. And it was just an incredible thing to happen because all of a sudden we found ways to do. We had great pitching, of course, with Seaver and Kuzman and Ryan and DeGentry and all those guys, and really good defense. But we just started to find ways to win, and I think that was the key to us going on to winning a championship. But I don't think there was any one game, any one person. It was just a way to win those games. And you see the way the Mets are playing; they're getting some good pitching all of a sudden, and then the bullpen blows it, or they lose a game like last night, but defensively. And to the Giants' credit, they win that game. I mean, every game is going to be a pretty win. You can win ugly sometimes. So I know exactly how these teams are feeling, both sides, and you just have to win those close games.
You know, Art, you look at that 69 Mets team, and the team went 9-11 in the month of April, 12-12 in May, and then it kind of took off in the month of June, and that's what we saw this Giants team do this year. How does a team put the first 2 months that are kind of subpar or not up to expectations behind it and kind of rally themselves into a playoff race?
Well, exactly the way I mentioned, it's just you win those close games. You win by any way you can, whether it's an error by the defense or a timely hit, and you start believing in yourself. And in our case, Gil Hodges was platooning in a number of positions, and everybody was starting to contribute, and that was the real you know, legacy of that team because everybody contributed at some point during the course of the year. And I think that's really what has to happen with these teams. Even if you're a number of games behind, you can't give up hope because I'm a perfect example being on a team that wins a world championship 9 games behind the team in the middle of August. So you keep plugging away, like the Giants are doing, actually. They're winning these games, and they got a little streak going, and anything can happen. I know the Mets are disappointed. This year they were hoping for a lot better success, but at the same time, even though like they blew the last couple games, I just think that you cannot give up. You just have to keep plugging away and hoping that something will kick you in the rear end and stir the pot, so to speak, and all of a sudden you're on a streak and anything can happen. I don't know why fans get so discouraged in June and July, because anything can happen as we get into August and September. So I would tell Giant fans and even Met fans, as bad as it looks right now, keep the faith, because I'm a perfect example of turning it around and all of a sudden great things happening.
Boy, Art Shamsky with us, so a member of the 69 Mets, and of course did some amazing things a little bit earlier in his career. Art, a couple of things. One, As a hitter, when you got to face a pitcher coming up from the minor leagues who didn't have very good numbers and you hadn't seen him before, but he's been getting knocked around a little bit, did you sort of lick your chops as a hitter?
You know, I wasn't that kind of a hitter. I always respected everybody. It's what's interesting about the game of baseball. The greatest pitchers in the world could have trouble with the weakest hitters, and the best hitters could have trouble with the weakest pitchers. It's a very strange phenomenon, and I always respected everybody. That hitting a baseball and consistently, hitting it hard consistently is a real challenge. So I never licked my chops. I had some success against people that I felt a little bit more confident about. But there were so many great pitchers in the big leagues at that time when I played in the 60s. And you guys had them right there in San Francisco, so a number of them. So yeah. I never was that overconfident to say, hey, I'm guaranteed to get a couple hits in this game. I never felt that way. But it was always a challenge. And I think deep down that made me try to be a better hitter, because I thought every at-bat was a challenge facing some of these great pitchers who pitched in the 60s and 70s.
Well, I'm predicting a couple of hits off Walter Lockett today. That's where I'm going with that. But the other thing that you said that's interesting, then Adam and Kerry have some questions for you. Of course, the book is After the Miracle, the Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets. It's a great story, and we had Art on previously talking about it. But Art, the bench for the Mets in 69, and it was Al Weiss and the catcher and you and other people, that's what's doing it for the Giants right now. The bench is fueling this thing, and the core guys are kind of picking it up from here and there. I think there's a comparison.
Well, it could be. You're right. Gil Hodges was the kind of manager that managed by feel. And I know Bruce is, too. I think Bruce has a little bit of that old kind of managerial style in the way he manages. Because nowadays with the sabermetrics and the printouts and everything, seems like it's all about numbers. And the guys I played for, particularly Gil Hodges, who was a manager of feel, he knew about the guys at the end of the bench, because at some point during the season he was going to need them, and he was right. And he got the most out of everybody. It wasn't great for our careers. I'm the first to admit it. When myself and Sloboda were in right field, just sharing the outfield, it didn't help us in the longevity of our careers. But the reality was, it helped the team at the time. We believed in Gil Hodges, and it witnessed by what the Giants are doing. If everybody's contributing, that's what the team is all about. That shows you that you've got some cohesiveness. And the team is following the lead of the manager, and that's how it all happens. Believe me, that's exactly the formula right there.
You know, Art, I'm looking at your numbers from the 1969 season. You hit 300 with a 863 OPS, 14 home runs that season, just the career year for you. I'm wondering, can players rise to the occasion and have their best seasons when a team starts to pick it up and win close games like you guys were doing? Do you feel like you were able to deliver more in those moments because you had so much confidence from the way the team was playing?
I absolutely believe that. I think it was confidence in your ability, and confidence that if you didn't have a great game, somebody else was going to pick up the slack for you. And I think that always kind of resonates with everybody on the team. I think that's what everybody felt, at least the guys that I've talked to over the years, and we've gone over this. They felt the same way. We felt like if we had a bad game, somebody else was going to do something, whether it was with the bat or defensively, or our pitchers who are going to come through. Look, the perfect example is the playoffs when we beat the Braves, and we had Seaver, Kuzman, and Gentry pitching, and three really terrific pitchers, and they all got hit pretty hard at playoffs, but it was the left-hand batters who came through, and we scored a lot of runs against Atlanta, who had a terrific team. You know, I had 7 hits and 13 at-bats in that series, and I don't get a chance to start the first game of the World Series, which was very discouraging for me. And then he set me up to pinch hit in the ninth inning with the game on the line. I ended up grounding out the second. It's interesting. I think about that at-bat almost every day in my life. No matter what else I've done in my career, that at-bat in the World Series in Game 1 is, like, fixated in my mind. But the reality of it was, we all kind of felt like we could contribute to the team, and that was the genius of Gil Hodges' managing.
Talking to Art Shamsky. Art, I'm wondering about the Giants just got back to 500. I'm wondering about the mindset of, like, a clubhouse or a team in general. Is that a big milestone for a team? Do they feel like once they get back to 500, okay, now we're out of the hole? Is that something that a team can embody and say, we're going to keep this going because we've now gotten back to balance?
I think it's more the fact that they're playing better baseball, and they've won some games in a row, and they've won some close games. You know, winning the close games is really a secret to the success, and finding ways to win, and whether it's like I said, winning ugly or not, the fact that you won the game and now you're backing and being competitive, and teams are looking at you. It's not like you just have fallen back and nobody cares anymore. So I think it stirs up everybody's interest. The fans get caught up in it, and I think it's great for the team that they're finally making a little bit of move, and the expectations were that we're going to be a good team, and finally showing up. And I think not so much the fact that we got to 500, but the fact we're generally playing much better baseball than we were playing, and it's showing up in the standings.
Great stuff, Art. Very good. Enjoying Cooperstown? What's it like up there?
It's busy. A lot of Yankee fans. I'm overwhelmed with the Yankee fans here. Every time I see a Met jersey or somebody with a shirt on, I grab them just so I can, believe that there's some Met fans here. But, because Mariano Rivera is going in, and it's a great list this year of guys going in. But Mariano was such a great pitcher, and so many Yankee fans up here. It's close to New York, and this area has always been Yankee territory. So I just got to dance around all these Yankee fans and figure out how I can just grab a couple Met fans and feel more comfortable.
good luck. What players are up there sort of signing autographs or doing things? Is Pete Rose there and people like that?
Yeah, Pete's right next door. We were teammates for a number of years, played in the minors together, and didn't get a chance to say hello to him yet, but I know he's signing with Tony Perez, who was a teammate of mine, and Joe Morgan. And Fergie Jenkins is across the street, and I'm sure there's some Giants somewhere around. It's a great time for people to mingle with some of the players, some of the heroes from the past, and I really enjoy seeing those guys I played with and against. I played in an era that I think had the greatest conglomerate of players in the history of the game, that 60s and early 70s, and I just think of those Giant teams with the Stretch McCovey at first and Mays and all those great players and Cepeda and all the, Marichal. I remember those battles I used to have with Marichal and Candlestick Park when all those things. Great memories and great times for me. I was honored to play against those great players and with some of those great players. And so for me, when anybody says, "Hey, don't you wish you were playing now, making all the money?" My first reaction is, yeah, of course, but the reality is I wouldn't trade it for the World Series ring I have with the Mets and playing against those great players like the Giants had and all the other teams had in the mid-60s and early 70s. For me, it was quite an honor.
Beautiful, Art. Thanks so much. And the book, as I say, After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets, a bestseller in the New York Times list. Art, it's great to have you. We welcome you anytime. I love talking ball with you.
Thanks, Marty. Always good to be with you. Thank you so much.
All right, that is Art Chomsky.